You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And with me tonight is my tame commentator, Greg Davies, who's the head of wealth at Kratos Capital, and also our guest every Tuesday and every Thursday, incidentally. And that's David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities in the salubrious surroundings of Melrose Arch in Johannesburg. David, start with you. Quite boring at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, I actually think it's one big yawn because nothing really happening. There's no news to move the market. I'm just looking at the volumes today of 18 billion. A third of that is in Naspers. And remember, today is the last day for Naspers in its present form. And from tomorrow, its process is listed. But very, very boring day. And even on international markets, you know, digging for news, just digging for something to get our teeth into, been very difficult. So it's the same old arguments just being kind of going round and round. So nothing exceptional, nothing great today.
No, we'll go through the Stock Exchange News Service as we should do, and then we'll talk about Prosus and Naspers later and what we predict to be the outcome of this split and this listing in Amsterdam. But let's have a look at what happened this morning. Greg, go to you, Master Drilling. Let's just do that because it says unchanged on my screen here, but we have to talk about it. Master Drilling came out with their interims this morning.
Yes, did actually trade in the afternoon, really. The share price is finishing at 11 Rand. It's flat for the day. 20,000 shares traded, that's 221,000 Rand. So as we were always saying, the problem with these smaller cap stocks is they've got a market cap of 1.6 billion. They just don't appear on your ticker. They don't trade as often as they should.
Attack Limited. David, incidentally, we spoke about this morning on the opening, and we thought that there's two names that really stand out on the JSE for being really bad names, and two names that are never going to sponsor me, and that is Attack Limited and also Quilter.
Quilter. I don't know where Quilter came from.
Neither
I mean, that's really such an uncomfortable name.
Yes.
It just doesn't sound like anything.
Sounds like a bedding company.
We had ENX as well, or what was it called? Equestra also. Some of these are very difficult to pronounce or to announce. Yeah, and Attack also.
David. Greg at Attack, give us the numbers. Up 1.3%, I think, or close to that number. So
no,
good performance.
It slipped back a little bit. Your screen might be a little bit behind. It finished today at 11.50 Rand, which is up 7 cents, which is 0.61%, nearly 1%, or no, 0.5% better. A decent amount of shares trading, 1.4 million shares trading. That's 16 million Rand.
Okay. David, I'll move to you on this one. Rand Merchant Investment Holdings Limited. Their numbers came out.
Yeah.
You look at this one, I know. What do you think?
Well, you know, this consists this is MMI, or what it's called today, I think MTN. What's it with? It's Metropolitan and
it's called something.
MM. Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, it's Metropolitan and Momentum, but they've renamed it. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And then it's also got Discovery, and it's also got Outsource. So what's it?
Outsurance.
I've really gone backwards today. I can't remember a thing.
Yeah.
And it's got Hastings.
Have you been at the Sherry
UK,
again?
That's right. I wish it was a big lunch. I just can't get my memory. But, I mean, it's normalized headline earnings were down about 4%. But it's not, if you want to, people who buy this are the ones who want to try and get into OUTsurance because it has such a, you know, it owns 89 or 90%, I think, of OUTsurance. So I think Discovery and Momentum you can buy on the market if you need them. Hastings is a recent acquisition, but I've got no strong feeling for this. OUTsurance is a decent operation, but in this market, I don't have the appetite for them at all. I think it's just very, very difficult pickings for them. Momentum's in a bit of a turnaround stage there, but I must say I didn't go into it in a great detail. And I think the fact that headline earnings are down just gives you some kind of indication of where they are.
Greg, what did the share price do?
On Attack. Distracted. I was looking at something on Prosus. Yeah. Yes, it finished the day up down a third of a percent. 30 Rand 38, down 9 cents. value of trade 27 million rand. So doing its little bit to do some nice volume through the JSE.
Okay, let's have a look at the spot prices as a backdrop to the rest of our conversation, if you will, gentlemen. The rand, nice and strong, 14.68 against the US dollar. British pound against the rand is 18.14, and the euro rand is 16.21, with the euro dollar virtually unchanged at 10.43. Let's go to the all-important gold price, which David will be pleased to see is not doing well because he doesn't look at it. 14.96, which is down 3. The platinum price is down 10 to 937.5. And palladium is 15. Oh, Greg, give me palladium because my palladium screen's stuck again.
We're up $15 at 15.59.
Yeah, exactly. I'm seeing the CEO of sharenet.co.za later on this evening at the waterfront at a place called La Parada, and I'm going to give him some stick about his palladium feed. Brent crude oil, he's feeding me with that one. 63.95. Which is up 1.3%. That's quite a good move. And if we look at the overseas stock markets at the moment, Greg, you've got the liver screens than mine. So give me the Dow, S&P, etc., please.
Yeah, let's have a look. At the moment, the Dow is down 66 points, like we were saying, sort of quite a boring patch, really, for even for international markets. Let me have a look at the – sorry, I've lost my place here. The Nasdaq at the moment down 18 points. S&P down about 30 points. So all three of the indices are a little bit weaker.
Yes, very dull indeed. Let's go to the big issue now. David, is it the end of an era when the Naspers share price is no longer Naspers that has been built up from essentially a newspaper business to a giant, a worldwide giant? Is this the end of an era for the JSE and for South African investors?
I'm very worried about the future of the JSE. Greg is probably closer to trading markets than I am. And what I saw when SA Breweries went is a big trader vanished. We never quite captured the market when AB InBev came on. We never, even when Glencore came on, which are huge companies in terms of global market cap, but our market never quite picked up on them. My concern is that Naspers or Process will really emigrate, if that's right, or migrate to Amsterdam. Because if you're a non-resident shareholder, you're going to get your shares on the foreign register. So you're not, they're going to move from the local register. And I think a lot of foreigners have bought Naspers, you know, for Process. So I think that while Naspers will retain its market cap, I think a lot of the trading is going to go out of it and be around Process either here or in the UK. Or in Amsterdam. And I think in Amsterdam is where most of it is going to build up. You know, I'm extending this because over the years, we've seen Anglos and we've seen Billiton and all those companies who had their origins in South Africa. Actually, the trade has moved to London as foreigners have become more involved in these shares. And we're the JSE's trade has gone down and down and down. And I think without this, I'm not sure how we're going to survive. I'm not sure how the JSE Inc. is actually going to prosper. So I'm very concerned. You're not going to see it tomorrow. You're not going to see it next week or 3 weeks down the line. But gradually, it's going to become more difficult.
Greg, your opinion on this one? What are your traders saying? Because they rely on stocks that are volatile and stocks that have high liquidity and stocks that are subjected to the machinations of algorithmic trading. So this is a big move for you and your traders because you've got a big team there.
Yes, you're quite right. And David's point very well made there. But if we can just add, what they always do is say to us, let's say breweries are going to be swallowed up by Anheuser, but don't worry, Anheuser will trade in its place. And obviously in this case, they're telling us, don't worry, everything will be fine. But the process is probably going to trace mostly offshore. And it's death by 1,000 cuts here for the JSE. All the good stocks are disappearing. And even BTI listed here, but because we don't do a certain percentage of the free float, it's not included in the index. So that's less so. We're watching and we know what's going to happen and we just hope it doesn't happen quick enough for, you know, by the time we retire,
it's quite tragic because with Naspers going, they might split it for the meantime. You might get, I don't know where the process is going to be listed in the same weight or how the weightings are going to change. But, you know, at the top end of the market, you've got shares like FirstRand and Standard Bank and Anglos and Sasol You know, they're not really dynamic companies. They're not dynamic stocks in which you can actually build an index around. And I think NASPERS going is going to leave a huge gap in our market. You know, as we go down, there's very little to get excited about on the JSE. So it's, yeah, you know, we used to be, and Greg's old, you know, old man, old Brian was around there. He knew the kind of markets that we used to operate, which were really, we were the resource capital. We had gold shares. We had all of those, which foreigners wanted. And they would come here. We haven't got that anymore. We've got no catch anymore. There's nothing really to bring people in here. You know, you want a retailer. Okay.
Yeah, we'll give you a shot.
You won't pick a bag. Yeah, you know.
It's the price.
So for me, it's it really spells like an end of a road. You know, I'm just going down a dirt road from now on.
So what happens tomorrow? What do we get tomorrow when I put in NPN on my share net.co.za screen? When I put in NPN, which is the code for NASPERS, what am I going to get, Greg?
You get a NASPERS, you'll still get, but it's a holding company of a holding company. And you'll also get PRX, which is the new company, the process. You'll get both of those listed if you're holding NASPERS right now. So it's going to be interesting. I've had a bit of correspondence from the guys at Peregrine. They do our admin, our back end. You get a sense from reading those emails that we're not sure how well this launch is going to go. Sort of quite a massive thing. And if you think back to the time, David, you remember the time Facebook listed in the US? They put the market into auctions and all sorts of strange things happened. So I'm coming in tomorrow bright and early without a hangover and ready for action.
We'll see.
Yeah, I'm not
on the hangover thing, that is. It's very interesting as well that they've chosen Amsterdam. Why not London? Why not Frankfurt? I think I know why. Obviously, because Bob van Dijk lives in the south of Amsterdam. I've been to his beautiful, beautiful home. I think maybe that's it. And also, Koos Becker has a link to the Netherlands. He used to live there himself. So they've chosen Amsterdam, which I find very, very interesting, if not a bit colloquial.
Might used to be the sort of Brexit thing a little bit.
I think so.
Frankfurt, we've got the Steinhoff stink on us, so we don't need that. So maybe they thought, let's just go to some fresh sort of uncharted waters. I'm just looking up the meaning of it. It's a Latin word.
What is?
Which is an adjective process.
Oh, okay.
Because you were saying the names, the odd names. It means straightforward of style and purpose. An adjective forwards right on absolutely, entirely, utterly, by all means. So let's see.
Process, yeah. It sounds like a monkey to me as well. There's a monkey called a proboscis monkey, which has a long sort of droopy nose.
Funny, flappy
nose. And I think of that. But anyway, it's certainly better than Quilter or Attack.
You're going to lose another sponsor there.
Ah, please. I'll take my chances.
Look, I think they're going to try and create something big. You know, through process. I think gradually selling down their stake in Tencent, and as other opportunities come in front of them, because they need money, and I don't think they generate cash. You know, from Tencent, they don't get cash in big hoards that they can spend. So
yeah, that's a good point. Maybe perhaps that's why they went Amsterdam, because if they do sell the Tencent, the capital gains may be less. I mean, I remember, like, Steinhoff, obviously, they had super low tax rates. So perhaps that's why they're aimed that way.
Because if they do, because it doesn't, it still stays in the holding company. So until they sell the holding company, in other words, through the way that it's structured, I think maybe you're right. And use some of the sales from Tencent to look for other opportunities. They've got mail.ru. They've got the food deliveries, the classifieds. So there are a few businesses that are building up, and hopefully it'll catch the attention of outside investors. But from the JSE, it really leaves us with very little to get our teeth into.
From an investment point of view,
process,
no matter whether you go to Amsterdam or whether you go to the JSE Securities Exchange, you cannot fault the long-term prospects for process and NASPERS. You've still got Koos Becker in the background, who is a modern-day CEO rock star, as Greg would say. You've got Bob van Dijk, who has taken over seamlessly from him as CEO. And I would never bet against either of those two gentlemen, having met them on a number of occasions.
Yeah, I suppose this thing is, overall, I mean, it's sad for us as brokers because less stocks to trade and what have you. But if I was a long-term NASPERS shareholder, I would say this is probably the way that they're going to unlock value. And that's probably what they've seen. That discount to their stake in Tencent is so big. I think it's around 40%. How are we going to close that? So maybe by listing in Amsterdam, we can close it by 10 or 20 or 15%. You know, only time will tell.
Gentlemen, let's have a look at the top five, or rather the most viewed shares on sharenet.co.za this evening. This is Greg's domain, David. And Naspers, there it is, 15.4% of the top
views. It's unseated Steinhoff.
It's unseated Steinhoff. I mean, it's almost like in the old days when Manchester United used to be top of the league. Suddenly City are in there with Naspers.
I mean, it's the most expensive share and the cheapest share facing each other off.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, Naspers, Steinhoff, MTN. Why is MTN in there, Greg?
I think it's a bit of murmuring, you know, the situation which we've got in the CBD, where the Nigerian authorities are sort of almost making noises that they're unhappy with the way they're being treated. Their citizens are being treated in South Africa, and they may take action, really. I think that's got people clicking on their mouses and looking at that MTN share price.
Yeah, I think the whole business with Nigeria saying they will airlift their citizens out is just a little bit of a bluster, actually, a little bit of PR, because I think the reasons that Nigerians are in South Africa is for economic purposes, and they can put up with a little bit of, you know, argy-bargy here and there. I don't know. David, what do you think about this? MTN and ShopRite, for example, we spoke about it yesterday.
You mean the pressure on, yes, on both of them? I don't know whether it still continues or whether they're still feeling anything. But, I mean, I think they're two pretty independent businesses. And I suppose we haven't heard any further news of what's happening in Nigeria, I suppose. I don't know whether people generally know it's a South African company or not, whether it's just a few troublemakers. So
I think it could be a clickbait thing.
At ShopRite, share price has actually picked up. I looked at it for a day or two, but it's approaching 120 again. So some money coming back into that one.
Let's have a look at the top five major movers to the upside today on the JSE, and that's it, the top stocks, that is. Hammerson up 4.75%, Imperial up 2.8%, Discovery a 2.75% winner. This has risen, I mean, lest we forget, this has risen 21% in the space of 2.5 weeks. That's a really, really big move. Obviously, soothing words as Mr. Gore goes on his roadshow post-results. So that's good news. Bats is 5.36, up 2.2%, and ShopRite, we're just talking about that, up 1.5%. Any stories there, Greg?
Well, yeah, you quite rightly pointed out Discovery. I mean, as you were quite rightly saying, up 21%, but it also fell to 21% in about the same amount of time. Yeah. Interesting, are two UK-facing names in Hammerson's, up 4.7%, and then the British American Tobacco also up 2%. So I don't know with this Brexit, but maybe some sort of resolution. I've got a feeling it's never ever going to happen, but that's me.
Yeah, I mean, you're a Boris Johnson fan, and I have to say something about Boris Johnson. He's very consistent. He's had 6 votes. And he's lost 6 times in 6 days. You know he's going to lose. So I like consistency in my life, even if it's on the losing side.
It's all part of your strategy.
Yeah, of course it is. And the strategy is what? To destroy the UK economy? To undermine parliamentary constitutions?
Well, he says he's not going to extend Brexit. He's not going to extend it. So therefore, he has to have a deal, because he's not allowed to leave without a deal. So he has to have a deal by October the 31st. So I don't know whether he's going, you know, whether he has got the charm to actually go on an offensive and change minds of the Europeans.
Do you honestly think that those 20-odd members of the Eurozone are charmed by that buffoon, Boris Johnson? He is an eaten toff. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's rah, rah, rah. And as I've always said, I'd love to go on holiday with him and talk rubbish in a bar every night, wake up in the morning, go to lunch, and then carry on. But I don't want him running my country or the country of my birth anyway. He's an idiot.
I can't comment.
Think it's a part of his charm. Is he pretending to be an idiot and he's super smart? He's going to surprise us with a last minute sort of chess move, checkmate, and we're out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's his big plan. Yeah, that's why he's lost 6 out of 6
votes.
Well,
the pound's gone
better.
The pound's at 123.
The pound loves him, yeah.
On the downside.
For a little bit.
On the downside today, Assor is down 7%. Implats is down 6%. Kumba Iron Ore down 5.1%. MC Group, this is an interesting one, because it's suddenly down at 116, down 4.75%. Vivo, we can get rid of. But MC Group, David, Greg and I have spoken about MC Group quite a lot. Mm. When it split off again, and then it went down below 100. It went shooting up to what, Greg, about 140, something like that.
Yeah, I'd spent a lot of time north of 135, 138. I remember, and all of our traders were scratching their heads and saying, "What's it doing on a 30-odd PE, and it never comes down?" And if you looked at the foreign trading stats, the foreigners were gobbling up stock. But it's interesting the last few days. I'm shook when it's due to put out numbers, but it has been under pressure to see it down at 116 on some quite big volume. You feel like something's in the zeitgeist around this one.
Yes, that's a big percentage move. David, what is your attitude to this? Because it is DSTV after all.
Yeah, look, there was quite, you know, Greg said, and there was a lot of interest in mainly the dividend yield that this company was going to give you. It seemed to be cheap, and it listed under not a cloud, but I mean it listed had a difficult listing, seemed to pick up, and now seems to be selling off. So I'm not sure who's selling off and why they're selling off, you know, what news has come out that would have changed the direction. Remember that foreigners have to sell the stock, they can't hold it, you know, it's not listed in the UK, so anybody who got this unbundling, I think, has to get out. Now, whether this is all part of the NASPERS MCG unbundling, you know, whether it's all part of something around that, I'm not sure. But there does seem to be quite a bit of pressure. And they've come, I think, recently from about 130 or even higher than that, from 132 now to 116. So there's been quite a big sell-off.
Well, Steve Hoffman will be pleased because he's on YouTube, but he is chopping up his decoder.
Yeah, you know, Greg, there might be something there. I think it's a very difficult area that they're in. They face intense competition from Netflix. The quality of DSTV there has fallen dramatically. I know that we're getting the Rugby World Cup, and there's soccer and everything like that, and those are attractions. But I think you need more than that to actually keep this one up. So.
Mm. You know, perhaps these millennials aren't watching sports as much as, you know,
they're streaming, so. You know what they get my login, and then they say, "What's your login for DSTV?" I give it to them, and then they go home and check it, use my account to stream. You see, so
yeah, I'd love to see the stats. I mean, they were telling us at one point how many people were cancelling their subscriptions.
Yeah,
that's going to be. I'm looking. Mm. I did have results in June, so we'll have to wait till December.
And
be interesting.
And you've got Africa as well, which is supposed to be a growth area. Which is not, you know, not actually overflowing with money and cash and that. So I don't know. I wouldn't. The only streaming company I'd buy is probably Disney, or, you know, I love Netflix and that. But Disney I like. But I mean, I'm not sure I'm going for MCG.
I should be watching an MC Group and MCG product tonight. It'll be on Supersport. It's England versus Kosovo in the European qualifiers. And David Shapiro, I'm going to ask you a question now. Which team has the longest unbeaten run of all European teams at the moment, international teams, not club teams, international teams?
Give him a clue.
Does it start with the E?
No. No, it doesn't.
Okay.
Yes, it does.
Kosovo,
15 games unbeaten. It's a tiny, tiny little country. They beat the Czech Republic last week. So England against Kosovo tonight. I'm going to be watching.
Plays for Kosovo? Is there anybody there?
Rahmanovic and Rasputin. I've no idea. I shall find out tonight. Anyway, Greg Davies, Assor and Implats and Kumba Iron Ore. Assor and Kumba Iron Ore, anything to do with the iron ore price?
David will know the iron ore, but I just want to jump in on the Impala. Some vehicle sales were out in China this morning and quite sharply down, and that put pressure on the platinum price. I mean, Implats is one we somehow managed to talk about every day just about. It did have a run from its results up to 90 Rand and was perhaps a little bit overdone. Perhaps people taking profits, but you're down nearly 6%.
Consolidating at the lower levels, I would say.
You know, Lindsay, I'm a bit. I try to stir the pot with a
go on then.
A tweet and that, but I think I'm starting to see gold lose quite a bit of momentum at the moment, and I'm wondering whether you're going to see the 1600 that everybody's expecting in the gold price. Bond yields are picking up in the US. They were about 160. Remember, they were 146 not too long ago, 1.46%. They're up to 164. Even German bunds are picking up. So there's a little bit of a sell-off in bonds. And that's beginning to put pressure on some other safe haven assets like gold and platinum. And that we've seen quite a reversal, and platinum shares today were under pressure, as well as gold shares over the last couple of days have been taking a bit of strain. So I'm enjoying that.
You are. You can tell from the tweet. Yeah. You're doing a proper victory lap.
No, I'm not involved in any way. I'm just stirring.
I've got a note from Citibank, and they've got I'll email it to you now, that they've got a target of 2,000 on the gold price. So perhaps I'll email that to you. You can have a look and let us know later in the week.
I'm speaking to John Pickard. Just to remind you, I'm speaking to John Pickard, the portfolio manager responsible for the Investec Value Fund, which has a lot of exposure to platinum stocks. I'm speaking to him tomorrow, and Greg wants me to take a selfie with him, so I'll indulge Greg and do that if Mr. Pickard will let me, because I'm seeing him face to face. Greg, before we go to David's shock of the day or story of the day, and also what you've dug up, and also my quote of the day, which is what I'm starting today as well, please give us the closing JSE indices and the volume, please.
Sure. The banks finishing down 0.37%, financials lower by 0.07007. Industrials managed to go positive, up 0.36, but retailers down a third, gold index down 1.6, Platts properly clattered down 4.4, resources down 0.5%. That left the all share down 0.34, which is 187 points lower, 55,336. Value of trade, $18.5 billion. So it's just way, way too light. We need to get that number back into the 20s.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens over the next few weeks with the process NASPES situation. David, your shock of the day or story of the day, please.
You know, I tell you what my shock and story of the day is, and it's joint companies Curo and Stadia.
Yes.
And these were darlings. Remember, everybody couldn't get enough of these at a time they were growing. I love the companies. I love what they stand for. But after the over the last 5 years, they've lost all the altitude. You know, Stadia came out of Curo. Curo continues to lose ground all the time, simply because it's people are leaving this country. There's a whole lot of issues that have led to this, largely that they need ongoing cash in order to keep growing, and they're not generating enough cash. Stadio as well, which is a very ambitious tertiary education project as well, from the day that it was listed or came unbundled out of Curo, it's just been losing altitude as well and just coming down from an 850 price around about 2017. We're now down below 250 on the same basis that, you know, they need huge amounts of money. Very ambitious projects and that. But these all, remember, these form part of PSG as well. And besides Capitec, you know, these are a big part of PSG and as well. And I think have also been responsible for putting pressure on PSG. But great company, just share price giving up a lot.
Greg, what have you dug up? You're the digger.
Yeah, if I can just piggyback on to David's idea, and the one which I watch quite closely is Capitec. It did have a trading update the other day. They did tell us that they were going to grow earnings by between 18 and 20%. The full results were the 26th of September. But at this moment, that whole PSG empire is built on one pillar, which is Capitec. And look, they've done some clever acquisitions. They took over Mercantile Bank, but they really, really have to keep the momentum going, growing that bank, growing those loans, because all that mighty work that Gianni Matton and PSG have done could be in jeopardy if this Capitec growth story doesn't continue.
Okay, well done for that, dear gentlemen. My quote of the day, which I'm going to do every single day from now on, comes from a film that I was watching on the MC Group's DSTV offering last night. The film was called The Quick and the Dead, and it's a great, corny, sort of tongue-in-cheek Western with Sharon Stone, with Leonardo DiCaprio, and one of my favourite actors of all time, Gene Hackman, who's always the greatest villain. And he played
a man crush there, yeah.
Shut up. You didn't mention I had a crush on Sharon Stone, did you? You just had to go for the man crush thing. Gene Hackman's a great actor. Anyway, he played a character called John Herod, and he said in that inimitable way of his, he says, like I always say, put a fox in the hen house and you'll have chicken for dinner every time, which is very similar to South African politics over the last 10 years, wouldn't you say?
That is quality.
Isn't it? Just repeat it. Put a fox in the hen house and you'll have chicken for dinner every time. David Shapiro is from Sasfin Securities. Greg Davies is the head of wealth at Kratos Capital. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com, made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.